Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Finding God on your iPod. We've had two tracks, two songs, two sermons thus far. Our first artist last Sunday was Glenn Hansard, and the song was Her Mercy, and you remember the dancing and all of that. And to not give in to sorrow, give in to pain, but continue to live and understand that He turns our sorrow into dancing. Friday night we had the second track. The artist was Radiohead. Just to prove that I'm still a little bit edgy, we had Radiohead, and the song was Burn the Witch. I think it's the most intelligent song of the whole series, and if you weren't able to be here, you want to be sure to listen to that online or pick up the CD in Solomon's Porch. So now we're ready for the third track on Finding God on your iPod 2016, and the artist is Eric Clapton. Oh, yeah, we got some classic rockers here. Slow Hand himself, the original Guitar Hero. Before Jeff Beck, before Jimmy Page, before Jimi Hendrix, there was Eric Clapton. He's done it all. He's played with everybody. He's 71 years old and still creating music. You know, he sold 160 million albums. We won't be taking up an offering for Eric Clapton today. He's doing all right. I didn't know it was that many. 160 million albums. He ranks 20th all time in music artist sales. I didn't know that. But you know, he's acclaimed. Everybody knows how great he is. He's won 18 Grammys. Okay, 18 Grammys. Songs like "Sunshine of Your Love." Yeah, and White Room, In the White Room with Black Curtains, that's with, you know, with Cream, Layla. One of the greatest classic rock songs of all time, Layla. I'd just like to have Josh come up and do that riff right now. Great song. Lay Down Sally, a little country vibe. Then he has his just deeply touching ballads, Wonderful Tonight, Tears in Heaven. Oh, that song will just wreck you. I read his autobiography a few years ago. You know, he had a terrible struggle with alcoholism. Finally got clean and sober in the 80s. And he's very open and transparent about how he relies upon God to keep him clean and sober. He talks about he kneels at his bedside every night and prays to God for the strength to maintain his sobriety, which he's done for going on 40 years now. He founded the Crossroads Rehabilitation Center for Drug and Alcohol Addiction in Antigua. And people come from all over the world to get treatment. And he funds it through his Crossroads Guitar Festival. These are good things. So he's our artist, but there's actually a second artist. You know, Eric Clapton is known for likes to do collaborations with people. And so the song involves another artist, Ed Sheeran. You know Ed Sheeran? I didn't, which I was a little bit embarrassed. I didn't know of him. He's only 25 years old. He's a young guy. He's had two albums. The second album, Multiply, but it's just like it's a little X. But it's pronounced Multiply, has sold already 10 million copies. He sold out Wembley Stadium last summer three times. Yeah, it was a big deal. He appeared with the Rolling Stones in Kansas City when they played Arrowhead last summer. I have a niece that went, and she was far more excited about Ed Sheeran than seeing the Stones. And so I didn't know about him until then, until he appeared with the Rolling Stones, and so I was trying to find out some information. So I said, well, maybe he's got a song or two on YouTube. I went to it, and the song Thinking Out Loud had 1.2 billion views. Okay, I'm a little behind times here, folks, trying to catch up. So it's Eric Clapton with Ed Sheeran. It's a duet. They sing harmonies together, and they share verses. Eric Clapton has appeared on 163 albums. That's stunning. That's hard to do. I mean, he has appeared on 163 albums. I mean, sometimes in groups like Yardbirds or Cream or Derek and the Dominoes, those sorts of things, or in collaborations like with J.J. Cale or B.B. King. But he's also just released his 23rd solo album back in May. The album is I Still Do. I Still Do. I think he just means I'm still doing it. I'm still going for it. At age 71, his 23rd solo album, I Still Do. And the song I've selected from that album is track 3. It's also track 3 in Finding God on Your iPod. It's his duet with Ed Sheeran. It's the song I Will Be There. And it's a simple song. This is not White Room or Sunshine of Your Love or Layla. This is not a rocker. It's a beautiful ballad with a tremendously poignant message. And so here's the song, Eric Clapton's I Will Be There.
Times are hard and friends are few. You need someone to help you through. Just call my name and I will come running to your side. Don't be afraid. I will be there. I will be there. I will be there. I will be there.
When morning comes, nothing's changed. World outside plays the same old game.
Just call on me and I will ease lonely heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm
I will be there
when everyone that
nice song, isn't it? That's just a nice song. Beautiful. When times are hard and friends are few, and you need someone to help you through, just call my name and I'll come running to your side. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will be there. I will be there. That's a good song for church. I could just be a church song. Jesus said, don't be afraid. I am here. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, it was the day that Jesus fed the 5,000. That was a good day. Fed the 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blessed it, and it just started to multiply. And not only did everybody have enough, everybody had more than enough. And when they got done, there were 12 baskets full left over. That was a great day to be a disciple of Jesus. I mean, just think about that. Just you keep going back and Jesus keeps filling up loaves and fishes and you're distributing it to the people and they're just kind of lounging around on the green grass, and what a good day that was. At the end of the day, Jesus told his disciples, he made them, is what it says, he made them get in the boat and say, now we're going to go do something else. We're going to go over to the other side, but I'm not going with you. I'll catch up somehow or another. Didn't specify. He said, though, I'm going to be alone and I'm going to pray here a while by myself. And so the disciples got into the boat alone, that is, without Jesus. And they began their journey. And now it's the middle of the night. It's the fourth watch of the night. The first, second, third watches have come and gone, and they have been in their journey the whole time. Now it's what we would call about 3 a.m., the dead of night. They're a long way from land, and yet they're still a long way from where they're trying to go. They're in the middle of the sea. And then a storm blows up. Eventually, gale force winds. There's no sailing. They're now relying upon the oars, and they are straining at the oars, we are told. These 12 men in the boat without their master, without their rabbi, without their teacher, without the one they follow. They're straining at the oars in gale force winds in the middle of the night, beaten by the waves. It's pitch black, of course. There are no lanterns that are going to work in this storm. They don't have the convenience of electric lights. It's pitch black, and they're straining at the oars. They are in danger. They're exhausted. They're all alone. The only time they can see anything is those moments with a flash of lightning, a crack of lightning, and for a moment they can see, and that's when they saw it. An apparition. Floating just above the stormy waves. Another crack of lightning, they saw it again, and it's closer. A third flash of lightning, and it's almost to the boat. What is it? I guess it's the specter of death. The grim reaper coming to claim 12 souls. They're about to perish. And then finally one of them screams out, it's a phantasma, meaning specter, spirit, apparition, ghost. But then they heard a familiar voice from the darkness saying, don't be afraid. I am here. It was Jesus. It wasn't the grim reaper. It wasn't the specter of death. It wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. And they were so relieved, and they gladly received him into the boat, we're told. They gladly, woo! Good to see you, Jesus. We thought we were goners. And then when Jesus got in the boat, a miracle happened. Well, I mean, it's already a miracle. Jesus is walking on the water. But then another miracle. Sometimes miracles just pile up. When Jesus got in the boat, even though they were still 3 or 4 miles across the stormy sea from their destination, when Jesus got in the boat, suddenly they were there. They were right there. Just as if they did not traverse through time and space. They just were there instantly. Sometimes we're with Jesus, lounging around on the green hills, and Jesus is multiplying loaves and fishes, and we're having second and third helpings of blessing, and life is good. I like it like that. Can I get a witness? Lounging on the green grass, second and third helpings of blessing. All is right with the world. But at other times, we're in a storm in the dead of night, and it seems like Jesus is nowhere to be found. And the amazing thing to me is how quick we can go from one to the other. Yes. This all happened in the same day. And I read that, and I go, yeah, I know about that. Yeah. One moment, everything's right. I'm having my third helping of blessing, hanging out with Jesus in the green grass, and the next moment, before you know it, I'm at sea, in a storm, in the pitch black. And worst of all, dread specters haunt our imagination, invoking our worst fears. You know about those? Those ghosts that come to your mind and tell you things like, you're doomed. You're never going to get out of this. The worst that can happen is happening and is going to happen. You ever had that specter come draw near to you on a stormy sea when you're going through a hard time in life? Let me see your hand if you've ever met that ghost. I think we all have. Well, when you're in that situation, it can feel like your faith just evaporated, like it's all gone. It's even hard. Remember, you know, what do I believe? Because the anxiety of the moment is so present, it's so overwhelming. Well, I want you to remember this. When you can't see Jesus, He still sees you. We're told that in the text. The careful reading will show you that. That Jesus came in the dead of night, in the fourth watch, in a storm, walking on the water to disciples because He saw them. From a long way away, He saw them. They couldn't see the hand in front of their face, but He saw them. And He saw that they were in trouble. And so He came to them, walking on the water. When you're in trouble, Jesus sees, and Jesus cares, and best of all, Jesus draws near. I will be there. That's His promise to you. I will be there. Now, you may not recognize Jesus at first. The disciples didn't. But He will be there. And He's here right now. Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus is going to get you to the place where you need to be when you need to be there. I know we're going through life and we're trying to get somewhere. We're trying to be there. And we have this, you know, this hope, this song, I want to get there. I'm not where I want to be. I want you to believe this, that Jesus is going to get you where you need to be when you need to be there. You say, yeah, but I'm way behind schedule here. I should have been there. Jesus is going to get you where you need to be when you need to be there. Maybe there's a lesson to learn in the storm. Maybe. But remember, you're not alone. Jesus has given you the promise, I will be there. And He arrives. And what does He say to you? Don't be afraid, I am here. That's what Jesus says. Don't be afraid, I'm here. That's what He says to troubled disciples on a stormy sea in the middle of the night when they're haunted by apparitions. Jesus says, don't be afraid, I am here. That's true. And it's true for you, and it's true today, and it's true right now. But then the unthinkable happened. Jesus was betrayed, arrested, condemned, crucified, dead and buried. He's gone. And it was the third night after the death of Jesus. The disciples were together in that upper room, which is the last place they had seen Jesus together. But now he's gone. Gone forever. Gone for as long as death is. They're afraid. They don't know, but there might be more betrayals, arrests, crucifixions. They're full of uncertainty. They don't know what to do next. And suddenly Jesus is right there. There was no knock at the door. The door was locked. No one knocked at the door. No one opened the door. But suddenly Jesus is right in the midst of them. He's right there. Just, it's that same thing about that boat. That boat just, it didn't travel the space. It just was there. Jesus got in the boat and where they were trying to go, it was still hours away. Jesus got, they were there instantly. Same thing. Jesus just shows up. He wasn't there, and then he was. No knock at the door, no walking across the room. He's just right in the middle of them. There's the disciples, and suddenly Jesus is in the middle of them. He didn't come, he appeared. And again, they were a little bit freaked out. And again, they suspected something, and they said, "It's a ghost!" Again. And again, Jesus, "No, it's not a ghost. Quit calling me a ghost. I'll prove I'm not a ghost. Have you ever seen ghosts eat?" "I'm as pale as a ghost holding a blossom on a stem. Have you ever seen a ghost?" "No, but you have heard of them." Just pulled that line out. Jesus said, "Have you ever seen a ghost eat?" "Well, I don't think so." "Well, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat." See, you know, ghosts, you know, I don't know what they do, but they don't usually come and have a meal with you. But Jesus said, "I'm hungry." And so they, we got something here. And they had some broiled fish and they gave it to Jesus and he ate it. And then apparently he wanted dessert because he said he ate some honeycomb. "I want some dessert." And they gave him some honeycomb and he ate it. And they were convinced he's not a ghost. He's alive. Risen from the dead. You see, when you think the worst has happened and your whole world has fallen apart. A financial failure, loss of a job, loss of a marriage. Loss of a cherished relationship. A grim diagnosis. That's when Jesus comes to you and says, "Peace be with you. Don't be afraid." That's what Jesus says. When Jesus appeared among the disciples, in the midst of their despair and fear, he speaks to them the first word of the new world, "Peace be with you. Don't be afraid." And when you think the worst has befallen you, some sort of loss, some kind of tragedy, some kind of news that makes you anxious, terribly anxious about the future, that's when Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Whatever you go through, I'll go through with you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death," Jesus says, "I'm your good shepherd. I'll be with you. Don't be afraid." The difference between Good Friday and Easter Sunday is only 3 days and a little bit of faith. Open to Jesus' presence. Just be open to the presence of Jesus and receive peace. And hear Jesus say, "Don't be afraid." And don't forget to have dessert. Eat some honeycomb. It's going to be all right. You say, well, how's it going to work out? I don't know. I mean, when the disciples were in the boat, in the storm, did you expect somebody to say, well, you know, I figured Jesus will probably come walking on water. That's what will happen. Well, nobody dreamt that up, but it's what happened. I don't know how Jesus is going to come to you and make everything all right. I don't know. That's his business. Fortunately, he's God. So don't be afraid. Trust him. He will come to you. You're going to make it through this. It's going to be all right. You're not alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then 40 days later, 40 days after the resurrection, 40 days after that first appearance to the disciples when he said, peace be with you. He then said, well, I'm ascending now to my Father. And there was some distress about that, because they could only imagine it as Jesus going away from them. And remember, some still doubted, even at this point. Some of the disciples still doubted. I guess they doubted that Jesus was raised from the dead, even though they had seen him and eaten with him. That's why, if we're talking about faith, faith in God, that kind of faith, no amount of empirical evidence will ever remove you or remove all of your doubts. I mean, Jesus raised from the dead, appeared to people, and ate with people who still struggled with doubts about this whole thing. My counsel is, then just don't make a big deal about your doubts. So, well, I have doubts. Well, just shrug your shoulders and say, so what? I'm not going to put so much faith in my doubt. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Just ignore it. Well, you know, we all struggle with doubts. Here, we'll find out how many are honest here. How many of you struggle from time to time with some doubt? Raise your hand. See, you're in good company. I'll raise both hands. There you go. Just don't make a big deal about it. Some still doubted, but Jesus blessed them anyway. He blessed them all. He blessed them all. And then he said these words, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father. I am with you always, even to the end of the age, and then ascended to the right hand of the Father. The ascension is not about Jesus' absence, it's about Jesus' cosmic presence everywhere. He ascends to the right hand of the Father. Where is the right hand of the Father? That means where God reigns and rules. Well, where is that? Well, that's everywhere. The throne of God, the right hand of God is everywhere. And Jesus has ascended to the place of all authority everywhere. So that now, Jesus is not in Capernaum because he's in Jerusalem. Because he's in Jerusalem, he's not in Capernaum, and he's not in Nazareth, and he's not in Bethany, and he's not in St. Joe. No. Now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father with all authority everywhere, including right here, right now. And he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Whatever that means. This age, the ages of ages, your present age, your age of trouble. You ever feel like you've just been in an age of trouble? If I could write a blues song, I would write a blues song called Age of Trouble. Whoa. And I might be in an age of trouble, but Jesus, I'm with you until that end, until that age is over, and then I'll be with you in whatever age comes next. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with us right now. He's speaking to you, each one of you. I'd like to point at every one of you. Jesus is with every one of you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly the boat you're in. He knows exactly the shape you're in, the situation you're in, and he says, I'm with you always. I'm going to see you all the way through this. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not just going to say, well, you got yourself in a pickle. Good luck. Hope it works out for you. No, no, no. He says, I'll be with you all the way to the end of this thing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. And so, God's presence is with us. Christ above me, very God, a very God. Christ below me, incarnate of the earth. Christ before me when I can see him and I know he's present. Christ behind me. Even when I don't see him, he's with me. Christ at my right hand in my strength. Christ at my left hand in my weakness. Christ all around me, filling all in all. Christ within me, formed by faith. He's with us. And the presence of Jesus comes to us in a lot of different ways. It isn't just one way. There's a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's providence. Things work out. And you recognize, ooh, I think Jesus did something there. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's just the peace that passes understanding, that's inexplicable. You should be freaking out, but you're not. You might even have a laugh about it. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but Jesus said I would, so I will.
Amen.
It's the presence of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus is present with us through the lives of a few trusted, faithful friends. One of the greatest blessings in my life is I've got a few friends like that. I've got friends that are just like that song. Some of them, well, most of the ones I'm thinking about are live far away, hundreds of miles, some of them thousands of miles away. But I know all I'd have to do is call them. And if I said, I really need you, they would be on the next plane. And they would come and be with me. I recognize that as having to do with Jesus. It's that connection that we have in Christ, that kind of friendship, that deep, no matter what, they're going to be with me. No matter what, they're going to be with me. I've got some friends like that. I hope you do too. And better yet, I hope we can learn to be those kind of friends. I also want to be the friend that said that if they call and they say, I need you, say, I'm on my way. Yeah, but I live 1,000 miles. It doesn't matter. I'll be there. That's Jesus at work in us. Because I have discovered that almost everything is bearable if we can do it in the presence of close and trusted friends. That if we endure it together, we can bear it and come through the other side. I will be there. And Jesus is present to us in the bread and the wine. Those two disciples on that Easter afternoon who had heard rumors about an empty tomb but didn't know what to make of it. And then Jesus came to them. And as is often the case, it seems, people don't immediately recognize the presence of Jesus. They didn't recognize it was Jesus, even though they walked and talked for 2 or 3 hours. And finally, they persuaded him to have a meal. Jesus likes to have meals with people, and so he did. And Jesus then began to act not like a guest, but as a host. And he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it. And in the offering of the bread, he vanished. But the bread fell to the table with an emphatic thump, bearing witness that from now until the end of the age, Christ is with us. In the bread and in the cup. And they rushed back, those two disciples rushed right back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples in the upper room, we've seen the Lord. And they told him about the bread. And so we come to Christ, we come to his presence. We come to a tangible presence in the form of bread and wine. The body of Christ broken for you, present with you, the body of Christ. This is my body, Jesus says. You say, how can that be? Oh, quit being such a smarty pants. Just listen to Jesus and accept it. I don't think I've ever used that word in preaching before, smarty pants. This is my blood shed for you. That's what Jesus says. So we'll say to you, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. It is. Take the bread, dip it in the cup, and know that Jesus is present with you. And everything's going to be all right. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to confess our faith in the form of the Apostles' Creed, the most ancient and basic summation of Christian faith. I confess it every day. I already have today. Every morning in my time of prayer, I confess the Apostles' Creed because I don't pick and choose what I believe. I receive what I believe. And it's given to me. And so I don't ask myself. I trust. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to trust. You've got to trust somebody. And I trust the witness of the church. I don't mean I trust every single person in the church or every single aspect in church history, but I'm just saying the church overall through history, I trust. And they've given me this faith. And I say, okay, this is what I believe. And I don't ask myself, do I feel like I believe it? Do I want to believe it? It doesn't matter. I confess it. This is what I believe. It's the best way I know to keep doubt at bay and prevent it from ever becoming a real big serious deal. I don't know that you can ever eradicate all doubt, but you can learn to kind of laugh at it. And doubt is easily offended. And if you laugh at it too often, it'll just go away for a long time. It'll come back again, but it'll go away for a long time because it hates being laughed at. Doubt wants to be taken so seriously. And you just say, well, I believe this. Huh. So join with me in confessing our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is the